Good morning, everybody. We had one wedding. We're waiting for one more. The best is yet to come, guys. I want to entitle my message this morning as, I say unto you, watch. You know what that means? Watch. I'll get into some deeper stuff about this scripture, about this verse. And take it apart, what it means to watch. What time are we in right now? I'd like Joel to put a scripture up. There's a scripture that says, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. You know what that means? Any of you know what that means? The time of Jacob's trouble. What on earth is he talking about? Well, first of all, you have to translate. What does Jacob? Who's Jacob? Do you know who Jacob is? Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas for that great day, so that none is like it. That day is referring to a seven-year period. That's what this is translated to. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. A third, as a matter of fact, only a third are going to be saved at the end. And it's to those that will endure will be saved out of those 7 years. But before we go into my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your love and how you shed your love upon all of us now. We're now living in a day and age where everybody can turn to you. But there's a time coming where they'll see clearly who you are, but they'll blaspheme you. They'll curse you. Even though millions are going to get saved during that time, a lot of them will not care about you. But Lord, we're living now. We ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will saturate this place with the power of your Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, that we will plug into what you have for us and we'll live in your joy and in your peace, knowing that we are a peculiar people set apart, the bride of Christ, where we are waiting for this great wedding feast, Lord Jesus, and we are waiting for the bride to come. Lord, you will open our understanding to that, and that we'll be at peace and in agreement upon this, because agreement brings peace and power. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Excuse me. In Genesis 32, verse 28, this is said here, and he said, your name, the angel who fought with Jacob. I don't know if I gave you the scripture to put up. It's anyway, Genesis 32, verse 28. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. There's the prevail part again. At the end of the tribulation, towards the end, when Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself to the Jews, they will in one day, in 1 hour, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will repent and turn to him. That's what it'll take to save the Jews. And I'm talking not a Jew. There's Jews that come to Christ now, but the nation of Israel. We'll start with Matthew 24. I'm going to set out something. I'm going to lay something out where you'll understand what's coming. And then where we're presently, what state we're in. So I'm going to first lay out the foundation of where what is coming. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22, out of the King James Version, it says, for then, it's talking about the future, shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning. Remember that time, that the first scripture I gave you, that alas for that great day, so none is like it. This is what he's referring to here. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, never, ever shall be. There is something coming onto this planet. I can tell you this, you do not want to be here. And you do not have to be here. Get into that. Verse 22, it says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. There will be a remnant is going to be saved. But for the elect's sake, We are not the elect. You can look that up in Scripture. We are not the elect. That's the Jews. That's the nation of Israel. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24, verse 29 to 30. And immediately after the tribulation, this is right after, that's the second coming of Christ now. Talking about the return of Christ to the earth to set up his kingdom. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. There is actually going to be a sign of his return. Now we're waiting for a surprise coming. There will be no sign. It's going to be like a snare. This is not a snare. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is every eye shall see him here. In Revelation 7, 9 to 13, or verse 9, first of all, it says, after this, and this is during the tribulation now, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Where are they from? In verse 14, John says, and I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Remember that great tribulation I just talked about? These are saints, called the tribulation saints. And they have washed their robes and made them white with what? The blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 13, verse 7, it says, and it was given. Now, this is still in the tribulation. And this is now the power of Antichrist, what he has. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And again, interpretation is very important in context. This is saints. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him, that's Antichrist, over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Look at the contrast on what Jesus had said, telling people about the church. And again, there's a scripture I mentioned at the wedding on Friday. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Remember, this was the saints. There's a mystery that is being revealed to us as we speak about that mystery between Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In Matthew 16, 18 and 19, it says, and I say also unto you that you are Peter. A lot of people misinterpret this. They say, and I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon you, Peter, the rock. No, it's not what it means. Peter was not the rock. Jesus is referring to himself here. Upon this rock, meaning him, I will build my church, because he's the foundation of the church, not Peter. Peter denied him right after this. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's quite a contrast from what I just read you out of Revelation, where the Antichrist is going to prevail against the church. So there is two different settings here. One in the Great Tribulation, and I say the Great Tribulation for a reason. You'll get to know why. And what we are experiencing now. In verse 19 it says, he also says to Peter, this is giving us. And this is not just Peter. This is the church. And I will give unto you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth, you shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The saints in the tribulation do not have or possess this power. They have but one way out, and that is actually to lose their heads. Comfort yourselves with these words. No, that's not what it says. I'll get into that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 9, starting with those verses, this is now talking to the church. Paul addressing the church of Thessalonica. But of the times and the seasons, brethren and sisters, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Was that a thief in the night, what I just read you before about Jesus coming? Every eye shall see him. First, there's going to be a sign of his coming, clearly indicating he's returning by the sun being blotted out, the moon losing its shine, then a sign appearing that Jesus is coming back. This is different. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they, who's he referring to, shall not escape. We will escape. The church will escape here, but they will not. Just like Noah escaped God's wrath and Lot. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction, I'm repeating that verse again, comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, us, we are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now he's admonishing us. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That means be vigilant, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, that means those who are born again, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation, knowing in your minds that this day is hope for us. That's salvation. This is not talking about salvation of your soul. That's done. That's happened already. This is talking about salvation of something that's coming, the great tribulation. And here it says it. For God has not appointed us to wrath. It's not talking about just hell here. It's talking about wrath, God's wrath to come. But to do what? To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has an escape plan. Not for them that are lost, but for them that watch. There is an escape. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. I want to talk about the spirit of agreement. You know, if I have a message of salvation here, there will be such unity and peace and joy here because of the agreement on the message. Agreement, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. It's easy for two or three to be in agreement on something. But let's say now you have a whole setting. Now, to get the whole church in agreement on one, can you imagine the power we would possess if we would be in one accord like the early church was in the upper room, where they were in such one accord, the agreement was so strong in what they were into, there was no division about what was right, what was wrong. They were so in unity that the Holy Ghost hit and they even prayed in one accord. That's how powerful the union was amongst them. This is what I'm asking for this upper room, that we will have such union in the Spirit that the agreement as it is in salvation will be with his return. If there's one or two people here that disagree with this message, it brings disconnect. It already cuts off from what we could experience. I'm not preaching you my theory or my idea of what I think is going to happen. I'm simply telling you straight from the Word of God in context of what's going to happen. When you study the Word of God, you can see there's a huge contrast between his second coming and a snatching away, which we call rapture, which they say is not in the Bible, and actually it is in the Greek. It is called harpazo, there's a Greek word for it, which equals rapture. The Bible doesn't mention Trinity once. Do we know there's a Trinity? Absolutely. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So just because the Bible does not specifically mention rapture, it doesn't mean we throw it out the window. It mentions the idea of what the rapture means. So we just use one word to describe the event which is going to happen. Then this is the rapture, for God has not appointed us to that wrath of the tribulation, the great tribulation, but to obtain salvation. And again, not salvation for your soul. That's happened already. We are saints. This is talking about the salvation from the wrath that God is going to do to the whole world, pour out his wrath, the time of Jacob's trouble. And again, I'll say that Ephesians 5:32 again, which I'll keep repeating this. This is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So like in the days of Lot and Noah, in Hebrew 11, verse 7, I want you to put that up, please. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, there's a tribulation coming for these guys, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So God prepared something to save him from the wrath to come, by which he condemned the world, and Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we walk by faith, looking, redeeming the time, knowing God has a rescue mission plan before he pours out his wrath, which represents the seven last years, the time of Jacob's trouble. In Luke 21, there is another warning to the church, to his own. Starting in verse 34, it says, "And take heed to yourselves." In other words, pay attention, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting means overindulging in whatever, whether it's food or whatever your heart desires, and you overindulge in it. This is what this means. And drunkenness and cares of this life. In other words, worrying about this thing, things of this life, and the things that it brings you. Don't worry about those things. Don't get caught up with that stuff. And so that they come upon you unaware. You can see what can keep you from being aware of what that day coming. So the Bible is telling us, watch, do not be caught up in those things. But let's look at the contrast during the tribulation. So this is what's going to happen there. During the tribulation, as Christians, the last thing you will think about is drunkenness and overindulging in whatever your interests are as pertaining to the flesh or the cares of this life. You will not think about those things. We are living in the period of, it's called the dispensational age of grace, where we can, as believers, do things we shouldn't do. During the tribulation, you will not have that. You will have black and white. You either serve God or Satan. And you will make that choice, and it will be distinguished. And you will not be able to hide in that gray area anymore, as we can now. So during the tribulations, as a Christian, the last thing you'll think about is drunkenness and all these things. It will be severe persecution for all the saints. Remember what I read before, Antichrist made war on the saints and he prevailed. We're living in a time, this very minute, that if you do live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. This is different. This is persecution or tribulation from a different sort. But in our Western culture, only to a certain extent will you experience persecution. Not so in Muslim countries and communist countries, where you will be severely persecuted, where it is even to the point of death. But, however, you still possess the power and authority to stop them, and authority to stop them from killing you. Like God gave us the keys to bind whatever. We still have that authority. During the tribulation, that authority was removed. You will not say, "Oh, you're not going to kill me." No, that's not going to happen. Now it can. When somebody comes up to you with a gun and points it at you and says, "You deny Jesus or I'll shoot you," you say, you have two choices. You can say, "Shoot me, I don't care, I'm going to heaven." Or you can say, "I'm not denying Christ, but you'll not shoot me either." Remember Sarah from help me out here, from Rwanda, during the Rwandan genocide, where the guy was going with the gun shooting all the believers, came to her and she said, Satan, today you will not kill me. She came to him. The guy, fear filled his eyes. He dropped the gun and ran the other way, and she walked out of it there alive. That power is available to those who trust in it. Don't, if you're ever faced with it, don't underestimate the power that you possess through the power of the Holy Ghost that God has given us. It's all power, not some power. So you do possess the power and the authority to stop them from killing you. And I'll give you the scripture on that. Hebrews 11, 33 to 34. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. A little bit different than a gun, but still enough power there to kill you. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. These things were written for our example that we serve the same God yesterday, today, and forever. There is no difference. This is our God. We possess this power. You need to walk in this power, and you need to exercise this authority, not in arrogance, but in humbleness, knowing that we serve the same God who can use and take this quickly away from us if we choose to be arrogant. Humble yourselves, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were challenged with bowing to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar set up. They said to him, we will not bow to your idol, and our God is able to save us. And if he doesn't, we are not bowing. And it says that his anger rose up in his face. He was angry. And he threw them into the fire. And the people that threw him into the fire, they died. But they themselves, the only thing that burned was the ropes that held them. They didn't even smell like smoke. They had nothing that even resembled the smell of or the stench of smoke to their nostrils. So it was, and what I just said about putting to flight the armies of the aliens, as it'll be in the great tribulation, you will not possess this power in the tribulation. It was not given, and it was given him, the Antichrist, to make war on the saints and to overcome them. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. The Antichrist is going to make war on the saints, and he's going to overcome them. Now, he cannot even be revealed until we're taken out of the way. So the Antichrist will prevail over the saints. Finishing out at Luke 21, 35 and 36, it says, and there's that snare again. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What is that snare? That is the rapture. The ones that are going to be taken out are the ones that are not going to be caught in that snare. The other ones will, and it says, they shall not escape. However, we will escape. This is that great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church, not the saints, tribulation saints. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to repeat those scriptures because they bring out or explain this snare again. For you yourselves, back talking to us again as believers, for you yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, as a snare. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, there's that snare again, comes upon them. And he said in verse 4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. This is just a reminder that we are not that group that will be overtaken by that snare. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And then in verse 36 out of Luke 21, verse 36, it says, you want to please put that one up? This is the punchline of these scriptures. Watch you, therefore, and pray always. What are you supposed to do? Watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Now you have to stop here and ask, escape what things? Study what Jesus was talking about prior to this scripture. He's talking about that the time of Jacob's trouble, that day of tribulation that this world has never seen and will never ever see again. And that, let's see what he's telling us about that day. We should watch, we should pray always that we may be accounted worthy to do what? Can we hear it? Can I hear that loud? Escape. I did not write that. So yeah, you're just an escapist. I sure am. Thank you, Jesus. To escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand where? This is not the ark and a safe place that he's going to make for us here on earth. This is to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. This is our escape. We will be, it'll say in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think 18 and 19, it says, he's talking about his return. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort, and to always be with the Lord, we should comfort one another with those words. So it says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If this verse alone does not challenge your anti-view of the rapture, I have no words to say to you. I don't even want this to bring union. Let's agree to disagree that this is not what it's talking about and preach the gospel for the sake of telling people about Jesus. But if this is a comfort to you, that what you see coming is horrible and you want peace and encouragement, I encourage you to believe this at face value, what he says here. Otherwise, I have no other words for you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. What is he talking about? What the demonic forces are already at work, trying to bring their plan into fruition. You can see them working, trying to bring their one world government in. Guess who's holding it back? You. Us. The church. It'll never happen. While we're here, it can't happen. Why? Read on. Only he who now lets, will let until he be what? Taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit, the dispensation in the age of grace, the Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit is not here as a soul entity by itself doing things. He's working in us. That's how God chose. He says, Jesus said, I have to leave. I cannot give you the Holy Spirit till I leave. So he left and he sent us the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. So this Antichrist cannot come until we are gone. The church, not the saint, will be saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gets saved the same way. But if the holding back force, his role changes. He only does is to save souls, because you still need to be born again, which only the Holy Spirit can do. And that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation, where millions, if not a billion, will be saved. Study these things for yourself so that you can live your life in the comfort of the scripture, knowing that our Lord can appear any moment. You want to know that you have this, not only from what I'm preaching here, but you want to know that you know it so perfectly that when somebody comes and he is anti this, that he cannot persuade you his way. You want to believe it, the truth, the true way, which is through scripture. I believe the Holy Spirit has to give enlightenment. Yes, I do. But I think there are scripture that are face valued enough, clear enough at face value, that we can believe what they say and say what they say and mean what they say. So knowing that our Lord Jesus can appear any moment, be ready. Always be ready. Amen and amen.